Joshua chapter 1 here tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Jesse, would you help me make sure everybody gets one of these? Don't read it right now. Got to listen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And while you're turning there, let me mention here, Isaiah 34, 16, the first part of the verse says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." Now, what I want to emphasize here tonight, as we've been looking at the battle for the Bible and so on, the inspired, preserved words of God, what I'm emphasizing tonight is it's inconsistent for us to say we are King James only and then rarely read the King James Bible for ourselves. I'm King James only. Yeah, so then we barely read the Bible. It's like, are we really King James only? So again, that's what I want to emphasize here tonight. Are we doing something as far as the Word of God for ourselves personally? Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 is a very familiar verse, but what I want you to notice here is this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night. And notice the purpose for this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But again, you notice that phrase, observe to do according to all that is written therein. So we have to observe it so that we are able to do it. Another familiar passage, just by way of introduction, is Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, we're talking about meditation. But I want to emphasize a certain aspect of this, how to read the Bible prayerfully. And I've talked about this off and on, but we have some new people coming and so on now. So I want to emphasize what I have tried to do over the years in order to apply God's Word to my life. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And let me pause there just a moment. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, does conservative news and all that fit into that? Well, yeah, especially if they're cursing, you know, they misquote scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Come on, Sean, finish the rest of the verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you're passing out information. That's not what the Bible says. But you know, the ungodly words of Rush Limbaugh. I mean, again, you think about the application of that. Notice that's not where we're to be getting our counsel from. Notice, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, so again, who do we associate with? So the blessed person who separates from the ungodliness, the sin, the sinners of our world, and the scornful will receive God's blessing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, notice, day and night. Not just 10 minutes real quick in the morning. You know, God, I've given you my time. That's not what the Bible says. We are to meditate in God's law and God's word day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me emphasize again, Isaiah 34:16a says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Seek out this book and read. Now, what helps us to do more with God's word? First of all, the desire for God's blessing. We already see mention here of blessing in Psalm 1. Notice with me Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Do we have a desire for God's blessing? All right, so the blessing was promised back there in Psalm 1. Blessing and prosperity was promised in Joshua 1 and verse 8 in relation to God's word. And notice here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And let me just say, as I'm watching the world's events unfold, I think the time is getting closer and closer and closer. So we better be practicing this more and more. Notice the threefold aspect of this. First of all, blessing is on the one who reads. reading the Bible. We'll talk about that here in more detail in a moment here. But also those that hear the words of this prophecy and keep, and of course that carries the idea of focusing on it so that I can obey these words, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now let me just elaborate a little bit on the hearing aspect of it. Remember it says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me just say this. Commonly, I've known of people in America, you know, just to have some noise around the house, what do they do? They'll turn the TV on, they'll have the radio on, or whatever. Why is it that Christians don't think about the fact, well, maybe I should have a King James Bible app and just be playing the King James Bible while I'm doing things? I actually heard of a man who he literally throughout the day has the Bible playing on, you know, on CD or whatever throughout the day. I mean, he just, while he's working around the house, working on ministry things, whatever, he has the Bible. Why don't we think about that? Well, I gave God my time this morning. Well, how is it easier to meditate in God's word day and night if you constantly have it playing? But again, we'll listen to the news, you know, we'll listen to, you know, radio, quote unquote Christian radio, have the TV on just to have some noise. Well, I don't believe that's necessarily a good thing to always have noise, because then you may not be able to hear the still small voice of God. But what better way to hear the still small voice of God if you have the King James Bible playing in the background of your day? So listening to the Bible while doing things around the house instead of the TV and radio probably is a good thing. And you notice here, it's a way to God's blessing tied to His Word. Second of all, not only desire God's blessing, but prioritize God's Word. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And of course, Jesus quoted that as referenced in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. But also, it's interesting, Job says in Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. All right, so I've not backslidden against, you know, from what God tells me to do. But then he says this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I've jokingly said it this way, you know, I got to the end of the week and wow, I forgot to eat this week. Americans don't do that. But how many of us get to the end of the day, oh, I forgot to read my Bible today? I want you to consider, as Americans, in many cases, eating is more important to us than spending time in God's Word. I want you to consider, as soon as a young person is able to read, there should be this desire to spend more time in the Bible. More than my necessary food. Now, we have to have food to live. We can only go, well, some longer than others, but, I mean, water, we can only go, what, 3 days, is it? Food? Sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes less, because, you know, as Americans, we're not used to, you know, it's feast or famine. You know. Psalm 19, notice this aspect of this in Psalm 19. Of course, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. How strong is our desire for the word of God? Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, I want to focus in particular on verse 10. As we see here, the psalmist praising God for his word and the effect that it has in his life. Notice Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. These are all statements related to the word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That fear of the Lord is talking about the word of God and its effect upon us. When God's word is in my heart, there is a fear or reverence for God. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now notice verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I want you to notice again, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Now, anytime we go through an economic crisis, all of a sudden, the ones who sell gold all of a sudden they're pushing their commodity. You know, gold doesn't, in fact, gold gains value. That's what they say. You know, don't focus so much on the stock market. Buy gold. Well, I want you to consider what the Bible says, though, is the words of God are more to be desired than even much fine gold. So again, are we prioritizing the Word of God? If this book was a real priority to us, we would want to spend more time reading it. Third, I want you to notice, pay attention to what you're reading. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Have you ever read something and it's like, what did I just read? Maybe we need to pray this request at the beginning of our Bible reading time. Lord, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Notice me, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I've been reflecting on this passage in relation to the devotional booklets and things. I had somebody ask me about, what do you do to get something from the Bible then? I just jokingly said, read the Bible. I mean, I've not used a devotional book for years. In fact, I decided I better not be getting the Daily Bread for illustrations anymore because, you know, it's corrupting their doctrine. So I don't want to ever have to say, you know, I got this illustration with the Daily Bread. Oh, you read the Daily Bread. No, I don't read the Daily Bread. But Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. "Of whom we have many things," talking about Melchizedek, "many things to say and hard to be uttered, notice, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now, the reason why I want for us to look at this is in relation to, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I want you to think about if we're looking for wondrous things in the Word of God, we're going to love getting into this book. But the problem is, you notice here, we can become dull of hearing. Oh, I've already read this how many times? Oh, I guess you can show me something new. I mean, I've been studying this book for decades now. And I'm still finding, oh, wow, I've never noticed that in that way before. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So let me give you an application here. Those who only get something from the Bible because they have a daily devotional book, they have shallow Christianity. I want you to think about something. God has given us it. Well, yeah, but you don't have to understand everything. Peter said, I don't even understand everything in Paul's writings. So if the Apostle Peter thought, oh, there's some things hard to be understood, we don't have to read the Bible and understand every single thing about it. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But again, you know, dull of hearing. It says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So notice, skill comes from using the word of God for our daily living. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, full spiritual maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So pay attention to what you're reading. Number four, yield to the Holy Spirit. Again, we're talking about how to read the Bible prayerfully. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Obviously, the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. So why is it that when we're trying to understand something, we want to get something from the Bible, we actually turn to people's words about the Bible instead of going to the author himself? Capital A, author. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, this is often applied to heaven. There is an aspect where that's true. But I believe in the context, it's talking about things from the Word of God. I'll show you that here in a moment. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So the Spirit of God must tell us these things. Why? Because he's the author of eternal Scripture. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things, notice, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hang on to that statement. We'll come back to that here in a moment. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So obviously this is the unsaved person. And I've pointed this out before, but that's one of the arguments for all these modern Bibles. You know, so that the unsaved person can understand the Bible. The problem is the Bible itself says they can't understand until they have the Spirit of God. Notice here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Right from the start, the first thing that they consider as foolishness is, you mean I can't do anything to get myself to heaven? That sounds too simple. All I have to do is believe in Jesus? That's too simple. That's foolishness to them because they think they have to do something in order to be saved. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So again, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. As we notice here, the Bible cannot be figured out naturally. So again, the natural man reading the Bible, they're just not going to get anything out of it. But I want you to consider also, though, as far as this aspect of praying the Word of God. We are told to, in the Bible, pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Revelation 1:10 says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This aspect of praying in the Spirit requires the filling of the Spirit. That's not the same as the baptism of the Spirit. It's daily filling, ongoing basis. We need the filling of the Spirit of God. That's when God, the Holy Spirit, has the ability to lead us, to take control of our lives. As it says in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Notice here again, the Holy Spirit working with us in prayer. And I'm just going to point out here, as this thought came to my mind, what better way to be able to pray with the working of the Holy Spirit than I'm actually praying the Word of God back to God? Well, obviously, God, if you said this, then. So notice here, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So again, we're talking about praying in the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. Also, number 5, study what you do not understand. Study what you do not understand. I'm not talking about going to several commentaries to see what the Bible says. I'm not even talking about, you know, reading the footnotes in a study Bible. Because C.I. Schofield, Charles Ryrie, various ones will lead you astray. I'm not talking about, in fact, I mentioned on Sunday something I learned about the Matthew Henry commentary that is often promoted by even Baptist preachers. There's more than one statement in that commentary on baptism necessary for salvation. That salvation is not complete until the act of baptism. I am actually down to one commentary left by a retired independent Baptist pastor. I mean, it used to be I had several sources that I would at least consult from time to time. And then it got to the point where if it's not based on the King James Bible, I'm done with this one. Because it would totally skip over some things in my King James Bible. It's like, well, I would like to know about that, but it's not in your NIV, is it? But I want you to consider a couple of tools that I use. Webster's 1828 Dictionary. I have an app on my tablet just for defining words, not to get my doctrine. As was pointed out, Brother Carl made a quote, was it on the church or something, a while back. And he was a Protestant, so we're not getting our church doctrine from him. But he actually uses the King James Bible in his definitions. So Webster's 1828 dictionary, so if you can't figure out what lasciviousness means, you can look it up in the dictionary. Or you can also use cross-references, because here's the statement that I'm emphasizing now in my ministry. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. I have Treasury of Scripture Knowledge that I use just for cross-references. I don't read their commentary things. I don't know if it's accurate or not. But remember, I pointed out in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's an application of this, is looking at cross-references to help us understand what the Bible teaches. But finally, here's what I want to emphasize here tonight. Learn to read prayerfully. Instead of having a daily reading assignment with your Bible, why don't we remember that this is God's love letter to us? That's why I'm saying read the Bible prayerfully. So many times we read so fast that God the Holy Spirit is not able to speak to our spirit through His Word. We need to allow God to speak to us. So what if you don't get through the Bible in a certain amount of time? Can you show me in the Bible where it says you have to read through the Bible in 3 months, you have to read through the Bible in a year, whatever? Can you show me that? Before we had a complete Bible, who was able to do that? People of the Old Testament may have had the books of Moses, and maybe Joshua. People of the New Testament only had the ones that were letters that were sent to their church and some of them that they shared. It was not until far later that anyone had a full copy of the Word of God. God does not ever say, here's how much you should read. What I'm saying is, we need to get more of this book into our minds and our hearts. But again, slowing down, allowing God to speak to you. What if God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to focus on one verse in particular as you're reading along? What if God, the Holy Spirit, wants to emphasize a truth in your heart that particular morning or that particular time you're reading the Bible? What if the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you focus on something? I want you to take the page I handed out. In fact, I'm going to get a copy of this so I remember, because not everything copied off on the side there. From time to time, I emphasize or talk about what I do in my Bible reading time. And I've done some variations of this from time to time over the years. At one point, I was reading through the New Testament about every month. And so I used just a New Testament. I put ACTS in the margins, just like you see on this page. I've shown this to you. I came across this. It's thankfully, there's no Bible notes and stuff in it, because it's put out by Thomas Nelson Publishers. But it's called the KJV Journal, the Word Bible. Literally, all this Bible has is a bunch of lines on the margins to be able to write things as you're reading down through. So I say that to say this. I have to use a different Bible for my prayer time than I do my study time. Because when I go through my wide margin Bible that has all my little notes in it, I get too distracted. Oh, that'd be a good sermon. The Holy Spirit says, we're not working on sermons right now, right? I'm working on you, so pay attention. So I have to do this in order to open my mind to wondrous things out of God's law as well. But I want to give you, I just gave you a copy of, as you can see in the book of Ephesians, in the first little bit here, the two pages there. But as I've emphasized, we need more than a daily reading assignment. Now, here's what I do. First of all, A stands for adoration of God or praise of God. And let me just make the distinction between praise and thanksgiving. Praise, I believe, focuses on the names of God, the attributes of God, and so on. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we'll go down through this here in just a moment, just as an example. But C stands for confession of sin. And as I go through my Bible reading, I will pause when I see a sin that is mentioned. For example, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, I have a C written in the margin there because of that statement, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. As we still have our sin nature, there's times when we can turn to the lusts of our flesh once again. But again, unsaved person, you know, individuals do not have power over that. But again, there's those desires still in our flesh. And so I noticed that, and I asked God to forgive me for the times when I am interested and fulfill those lusts of my flesh. Also notice T's, thanksgiving for all things. I actually, in Ephesians 1 and 2 here, I have a lot of T's, as you notice. But thanksgiving for all things. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as you think about the thanksgiving and so on, for example, verse 1 of Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, I thank God for God's will in my life, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I thank God for the faithful in Christ Jesus that are right here in this church. I also thank God in verse 2 for grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I don't just read through this passage. I pause to thank God for His grace and peace and so on. Then supplication for needs. Supplication is based on a root word of supply. We're asking God to supply the needs. Pray for things noticed in your Bible reading. For example, notice it says here, just look at the context here, chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and you can't see it, but in the margin there I have our church family. I thank God for those who have faith in our Lord Jesus, and they express love unto all the saints. And Paul even specifically says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So in various places, but in particular here in Ephesians 1, when I come to Ephesians 1, I'm thanking God for these things in our local church. But then as far as these prayer requests, in fact, I have an A here. Notice it says here in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So I'll take a moment and praise God for being the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice then I have an S. Notice these requests that Paul makes on behalf of the church in Ephesus. Notice that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That's something I pray for our church family, especially as I come to this passage. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I want you to have your eyes open to be able to see the things of God in God's word. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, that God would help you to see those things. But notice I have a T there. I thank God for the inheritance that we have to look forward to. But notice it says the exceeding greatness of His power. Notice that's what He's praying for the church at Ephesus to learn and to know. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? But I praise God for His exceeding great power. He doesn't just have power. He has exceeding great power. But again, paying attention to those things. Jesus Christ, is verse 20, sat down at the right hand of the heavenly places. He is seated at the right hand of majesty we see in the Bible. But again, praying for the things that we see in Scripture. Praying for the needs of your family, extended family. Notice me, Romans chapter 9. This is something I have written in this particular passage. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. I have unsaved family members. I'm sure most of us do. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, I wish I could honestly say that as I'm praying through Romans 9, I could honestly say this in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. But you notice that phrase, my kinsmen according to the flesh. One of the things I pray in particular is my kinsmen according to the flesh might be saved. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire, notice, and prayer to God, in this case, he says, for Israel, is that they might be saved. But in the context, he's talking about his kinsmen according to the flesh, fellow Israelites, fellow Jews. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You know, we might have family members that are very religious, but they're not going to heaven because they're not saved. But again, praying for the needs of your family and extended family. And again, use the word of God to draw your attention to that. Needs for our nation. Needs for our church. Our nation is in desperate need here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us we are to be praying for our king. Well, I mean, I guess he has issued some executive orders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. We need to pray for these tyrannical leaders. Okay, so we haven't had the extreme of Michigan and California and New York and all that. But we need to pray for believers in those states, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So do we pray for our government leaders to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. By the way, that's another thing we can praise the Lord for. So that kind of gives you an idea. I've talked about this, but I've never printed anything off for you folks. But that's just what I do. Here's the point that I want to make, though. Find a way to pray through this book. More than just 10 minutes, preferably. Oh, I'm so busy, though. I understand busy. Essentially, I have 2 full-time jobs. I'm not the only man in our church that deals with that. But if you aren't able to do that, I've done this before. I have 35 minutes into work. I listen to the Bible. And I'm not just listening. I'm trying to pay attention. I want my mind to be open to what God is saying through His Word. So as I would be listening to the King James Bible app, as I hear something about God's name or His attributes, Lord, I praise You for being merciful. I praise You for Your grace. But focusing on these things, I really believe that God did not give us this book here for knowledge purposes only. God gave us His words so that we can hear from Him through the Holy Spirit's ministry. That's what we're talking about, praying in the Spirit. But as I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit's filling. He wants to speak to me, and I really believe He wants to hear His words back to Him. He's exalted this book above all His name. If He's done that, then I think He loves to hear what this book has to say. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight to be strengthened once again, Lord, not just in our stand for the Word of God, but our love and desire to be in this book. Lord, I know different schedules. You know, we have men who work third shift. Lord, a certain time, like morning or whatever, may not be the best time to focus upon the Word of God. Lord, I really believe You leave that up to us individually. And even how much of the Word of God we read in a certain amount of time. So Lord, help us to open our minds and our hearts to what Your Word has to say and what You're trying to tell us. And Lord, I believe as we read Your Word prayerfully, we'll begin to understand it more. We'll be able to see not just the commands that You want us to obey, but the blessings that You have for us. Open our hearts, our minds, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.